Lecture number 34, November 15th, 2006. Last week, we began discussing Psukei D'Zimra, and we mentioned that Psukei D'Zimra opens up the gates, if you will, pushes aside the mechitzas, the barriers, and eventually will, God willing, allow our tefillas, our prayers, to go straight to Hashem. Before we begin the Psukei D'Zimra, we have an introduction. We inaugurate the Psukei D'Zimra with a certain tefillah. That tefillah is what we're going to be discussing tonight. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. If we open up the blue, Siddur Chaim Shlomo HaSholem Siddur. It can be found on page 24, line number 4. This capital is capital 30. Chapter 30 in David HaMelech's famous work of Tehillim. And we introduce the Psukei D'Zimra with this chapter 30. Now, there we have a few questions. First of all, as the first words, line number 1 read, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, it is a Mizmor for the inauguration of the Bayis L'David, for David, David HaMelech. Now, just a little history. David HaMelech did not build the Beis HaMikdash, as we discussed in the past, but rather his son did, Shlomo HaMelech. And if we continue through this capital, which we will not read together, but I suggest one takes the time just to even read the English to know what we're saying here, it's discussing how David is thanking Hashem on that Seder. It's page, interlinear? Oh, that's the... You have, Steve has the interlinear there. Yeah, that's page 72. I can't say line number. There's no line number. Right. Page 72.
Yep.
You have that? Okay, good. So it discusses how David HaMelech was sick and how God healed him and took him out of the sickness. Once again, what does this have to do with the inauguration to begin the tefillah? And what does this have to do with Chanukah Sabayis of David? With inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash. As we mentioned, I think it was last week, that there were four inaugurations. One by the Mishkan, one by the first Beis HaMikdash, one by the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Mitzvah Shem, we should have very shortly in our times, very quickly. The third Beis HaMikdash, which will bring the redemption. So we will also be saying this capital as well. Now, what does this have to do with beginning our whole Psukei D'Zimra as well? To answer these questions, we're going to have to go back to the history a little of David HaMelech and discuss a little of what took place in his life, one major event. But before we do that, we can see as well that the Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, it is situated in the Siddur right after the Karbanos. We learned in that, as we put it, the unofficial class on the Karbanos, that whoever learns and says the Karbanos properly, page 24, whoever learns the Karbanos properly, and if he needed some type of tshuva, and he said that Karban, then he gets that repentance, he gets that tshuva, he gets his atonement. If he learned, he said, that's why, one of the reasons why Karbanos are right in the beginning of davening. What is right after? Where are the Karbanos today? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't bring offerings in the Beis HaMikdash today. Because there is no Beis HaMikdash. Tefillah is b'makom karbanos. Tefillah, the davening which we daven, is instead in the place of the karbanos. So as the Gemara tells us, that whoever says the karbanos and learns it properly, it's as if he brought the karban right away, the next tefillah right afterwards, we have the inauguration of what? Of the Beis HaMikdash. That same tefillah which was said when they inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, is said right after the Karbanos. To bring out this point, to emphasize how if one says the Karbanos properly, he will get that atonement. That's one reason why it's situated right over here in the beginning of Psukei D'Zimra. Now we can discuss a little of David HaMelech's background. A scenario, a major event that took place in his life. And through that, we'll come to answer the questions once again being, It's Chanukah's Abayis, it should be L'Shlomo. Why does it say L'David? David didn't build the base of Mikdash. And what is this whole chapter discussing the fact that he was sick, now he's cured, have to do with the inauguration of the base of Mikdash? What's the connection? Those two main questions, let's put them aside, but keep them in mind as well for the time being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God does not test us in a test we cannot pass. It's called, in the words of Chazal, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba B'Trunim B'Yosef. Hashem does not test us if a test we cannot pass. David HaMelech asked for a test. We say every day, in the davening, in the siddur, if you want to open that, take a quick look. It's right in the beginning of the davening on page 12, line number 18. In the Berachas HaShachar, we daven to Hashem, V'lo lidei nisayon. Hashem, don't bring me to a test. Now, isn't life a test? Isn't that what life's all about? That's what life's about, is it not? So how do we understand this? Whether we like it or not, it's a test. We finished grade school, we finished high school, college, whatever, master's, whatever. We thought we had enough tests in life, we still have tests. Life is a test. And the purpose of life is to pass that test. And the more we pass, the greater our reward is in the world to come. So how do we understand this tefillah which we daven in the morning? So I heard one explanation from Rav Pam Zatzal, who was the Rishiva of Torah Das, and he said as follows. Life is a test. And that's wonderful. And we should, in any test that we have, like we mentioned, God gives us the ability to pass that test. However, there are certain tests which are so heavy, they take so much weight on the scale, that those are the tests where we're diving to Hashem. Although it's possible, if you give it to us, we can pass it. But we're asking, it's just such a great test. If one would, God forbid, fail it, he'd fall so far down. That type of test we're asking, Loli Dei Nisayin, don't bring me to such a test. David HaMelech said, the Gemara relates in Sanhedrin, it says, Elokei Avraham, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Why am I not incorporated in that statement as well, the God of David? Now, he is not coming to ask this in regards to an arrogant statement. He realized that they were spiritually so high, he wanted to be as high as they were as well. He wanted to be chosen as Elokei, the God of David. And he knew that by after the time he lives as well, he will not be referred to in such a high level. Because he wasn't going to reach that high level. So he said to Hashem, please give me the chance to reach that high level. So rather, I skipped one sentence here. Basically, Hashem said they were tested and they passed the test. You were not tested. So what did he say? He said, so test me. You familiar with all this? If you find yourself bored. He said, test me. So what did Hashem do? Hashem said as follows. I will do something for you which I didn't do for them. I will tell you in which point I will test you. Them, I didn't even tell them which point I will test them. And Hashem told them, I will test you in an issue which regards temptation. We just had the parasha last week, a couple weeks ago, with the Lech Lecha, with the Kedas Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu was told to take his son, bring him up. He thought he was going to kill him, and he was about to do it. He passed all 10 tests, flying colors. Here, David HaMelech has a test, and he was told what the test was. But what was the starting point? He asked to be tested. If a person asks to be tested, then Hashem won't necessarily be with him in order to pass that test. Like everything else we mentioned, Hashem gives us that ability to pass the test. Here, Hashem did not give him necessarily the ability to pass it, because he asked for it. So, David HaMelech sees a bird outside his window, right? Takes out his bow and arrow, aims at the bird, misses the bird. You know what happened? The arrow continues going. And it hits this curtain, this cone, and pushes it aside. Who was behind that curtain? Bathsheba. What was she doing? She was washing her hair, shampooing herself. David Melech
took out his binoculars.
Well, he saw who this is, and he said he wants her to be in the king's palace. And before I continue the next sentence, I have to explain something. And I have to explain as follows. We have throughout Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, we have situations where our great tzaddikim, our leaders, who we look up to, who we aspire to, as Chazal tell us, it says by the Avos, by our forefathers, Mosa tegia masai, lemasei avoisei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. That a person is obligated to ask, when will I reach, when will my actions reach the actions of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Exactly what that means is not for now. But we see that is who we are supposed to emulate. But yet sometimes we see the Torah takes a point to emphasize and to blow up. Tremendous measures, the sins of our forefathers and our tzaddikim of Tanakh. So one way to explain this, the Drasha Saran, is that we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megdaktik Im Tzadik Im Kechut HaSar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts punishment for these righteous people like Kechut HaSar, like a hair's breadth. If they made one little turn the wrong direction, in our eyes would it be fine, because we don't enter in the same galaxy as they do. And that's putting mild. But when it comes to these great tzaddikim, the great level that they're on, one little move makes a difference in the wrong direction. So really, they didn't do anything wrong. And the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, whoever says David Melech sinned is making a mistake. He's wrong. David Melech did not sin. Which will, God willing, explain. This is once again a very esoteric topic, which we're just scratching the surface here. I hope people don't come out tonight and think they understand from little I'm trying to explain, put some pieces together. But just to come to explain this question we started with tonight. So, having that background information, we come to the next step. David HaMelech wants Bathsheba to come to the palace. She comes to the palace, he is with her, and then she goes back. So, it seems like a sin. When David HaMelech, and he was the general, he was the king of the army, the general, the king. When people go out to war, and at that time they were fighting a battle with Ammon, the nation of Ammon, he had all of the soldiers write a get, a bill of divorce, that they would be divorcing their wives. One of the reasons for this is because if, God forbid, a lady would not know the whereabouts of her husband, if he's dead, alive, but she has no idea, so she can't get remarried, she's an aguna. So in order to avoid this, one of the reasons this was done, she would be divorced, and if they wouldn't know, after the course of some time, so they would get remarried. And it's no problem at all. Other reasons as well, it's not for tonight. So, what we're doing now is we're explaining as to why David HaMelech did not sin by the letter of the law. So this get was given, and she was not an Ashes Ish, she was not a married lady.
Why?
Because she was divorced.
How?
Because her husband was a soldier who was at war. And he divorced his wife. I'm sorry?
That, to me, is the point of contention in whether or not he sinned.
Well,
how his husband died was a result of how David acted.
Well, he didn't sin, according to the Rishonim, because that get was given. That's what the Rishonim say. He was a soldier out at war,
the soldier was out of war, and didn't David order all the other men around him to retreat?
Well, David HaMelech held that he was a Moir b'Malchus. He rebelled against the king.
When Nathan confronts him, though, Capitol 51, or is it 9?
Yeah, I think 51.
He says, against thee only have I sinned. And he says, who did this thing?
Right.
You're the man.
Right.
And then he confesses.
Right.
So it sounds at least that he thinks he's.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to it. We're not finished yet. I'm saying there's a tremendous calamity that comes out from this. But that's also not tonight's share. But the point is, in regards to the halacha, the letter of the law, she was a divorced lady. That's how somebody's trying to explain it.
Bathsheba
was a divorced lady. However, the condition of these soldiers going out to war was that the wives should stay loyal to them, and when they return, they should get remarried.
But if they were killed, then there would be no compensation to them.
In regards to what, life insurance?
They weren't married.
Well, that's if they should get a life, health insurance.
Or any of the spoils or anything that they picked up is not now marital property.
A woman can't inherit from her husband anyway.
But so therefore, what?
She's not bringing anything.
Therefore, how does that connect to over here?
Well, if they're going through a divorce,
it was for her benefit.
The woman loses an awful lot of benefits.
Well, it was for her benefit that if
only in the case that he dies.
Well, yes, and in the case he doesn't die, so he comes back, knocks on the door, and says, "Would you like to be my wife?" And she got a new diamond ring every single time.
But he can also change. He can also change his mind and go somewhere else.
Okay, but the same way. I mean. Is it possible? Yes, possible. But the same way, you know, that she was to stay loyal to him, he was to stay loyal to her. Of course it's possible. You know, technically
you've got
speaking.
Another problem here, because what if one of the men goes out and picks up one of the women over there, marries one of the women? Or
so she's left without a husband.
She can't marry him again.
Okay, that's true. I mean, this was only one reason. There were other reasons as well why this was done. But it was in her benefit. The purpose was that she should not be left as Naguna. And then she'll live the rest of her life not knowing if she could get remarried or not. Major, major issues.
Okay. In Kiddushin, doesn't it say that those are typical? They say that if I do not return by such and such a date, then it's...
Well, depending on the details. Right, that's once again, it was one reason why this was done. It was just I wanted to bring out and explain one side point. One side point as to why that David HaMelech, according to the Rishonim, he did not sin. Okay?
I didn't know that. You can make a Tanai on a get?
Yeah. You can
say
that in
certain conditions.
But that's
also, it's all wonderful questions and points and issues, but we join it, yeah.
But then King David deliberately put him...
That's what my...
At risk.
Good.
And that, and everything else aside, it was his intention, because... He felt, well, this is the way he could win Bathsheba.
Right. Now, that is correct. He was put to the, like you mentioned earlier, he was put out there. But I believe the Gemara discusses and that he was, David HaMelech held that he was a Moir b'Malchus. He rebelled against the king.
How does it say how he rebelled?
I don't remember offhand. I think he was asked to come to David and he didn't come. You know, we have no concept of king. The closest thing that we do, we have, you know, not the king of Denmark once again, but the closest thing we have. One day I'll bring some chips in here next time.
That's the best line of the whole season.
Yeah. We have to keep it going, you know.
Right.
So if we have a president, and we don't necessarily think of presidents as something so respectful in this country anymore, you know. So it's hard for us to understand that when this king, that title would say something, we have to respond and just go and do it. In the world today, we have no real concept of that. Most kings they're just a figurehead. The only thing we have is there are tyrants out there, which that we are to some degree familiar with what the news is going on, but that's not called a king, that's called a tyrant. So that's...
So the bottom line is, she was a divorced woman.
Yes.
And he was not a married man. So
well, he's allowed to marry more than one wife. That's not a problem. That's not a problem.
And the king did have halachic ability to kill whoever he wanted.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know what, you didn't trim your beard today.
Too many wives. Whereas the king can't have too many wives.
Well, okay, that's also 18, right. Yes.
Not to get too 18. Technical, but
yeah.
I'm just thinking.
You have to go on further soon. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right.
No. If it's a negate to this, if it's a good question on this.
The only thing I'm saying is if the guy divorced the wife, let's say she was pregnant, and he was a Kohen, then he'd make that child a Ben Gerusha.
Oh, so you're coming from learning Marcus.
Right.
Okay, so, very good.
But I'm saying...
Well, wait, someone's saying. If who was a Kohen?
If he was a Kohen, it was...
If the guy going out to war was a Kohen.
So I don't think the Kohen...
And he gave his wife a get, and she was pregnant.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be serving. I think Zev is right. Yeah, because... he couldn't remarry her in all these type of issues, right? Yeah.
Okay.
He must have learned Marcus also. Okay.
Very good. Fine, the child is taken.
I'm sorry?
The child is taken.
The child is taken.
David's child with Bathsheba is taken.
It's taken who?
Dies.
It dies. Okay.
That's a punishment.
Well, okay, there were many punishments. Yeah. So, if there were punishments, how did I say that the Gemara says he didn't sin?
Yes.
Okay. So, in regards to the letter of the law, she was not a married lady. In that case, she was not an Ashes Ish. The Gemara, the Psukim call her like an Ashes Ish, a married lady. Because once again, like we mentioned, they blow it up because on his great level, to some degree, it was like an Ashes Ish. Mm-hmm. And that child, like you said, is correct, did not survive. That came from that union itself.
So
but let's keep something in mind.
What sin
was there? Because it was not a correct thing to do on his great level. Okay, there's something called halachically correct, and something called, not that it's halachically, you're allowed to do it, but it's not on that status of the person on his level.
To invite her.
Well, I'll tell you like this. David HaMelech was destined to have Bathsheba Misheshes Meibreshes. She was going to be one of his wives from the beginning of 6 days of creation. She was one of his wives. She was going to be one of his wives. You knew this?
I didn't know that.
Okay, so I'm glad you knew something, learned something tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. You can go now.
Okay.
That being the case, what Gemara tells us is he took her too early. Too early he took her. Okay? Now, let's keep in mind, Shlomo HaMelech, if time would have played itself out,
right.
If he would have passed that test, he would have had Bathsheba legally.
What would have
happened?
No. What would? I mean, he had no control over the arrow. I mean, he did have control over the arrow.
If he didn't have asked for that test,
is it because he asked for the
test?
Yes,
that's one way
her?
That they explain. It's not so much the test
her?
Revealed her. It's that since he put himself into a position where he wasn't able to pass it without Hashem's help. And since Hashem said, I'm not giving you this test, you're giving this to yourself. That being the case, he didn't have all that power to
would
pass
there
his
have
test.
Been a difference had he met her
it would have been
in the market and invited her
not
over?
Not so much like that. The difference would have been if God said, just like he said to Avraham, you have 10 tests, this is one of your tests. If God said to David, I'm giving you a test, this is your test. Then he would have passed it with flying colors, so to say. Because she was destined to be his wife, and he could have been his wife legally with no problems at all. Okay? Let's just keep in mind. They had a son. Who was that son? Who was that son?
Shlomo Melech.
Now let's continue. Okay, just keep that in mind.
So that union had to take place.
Oh, it had to take place. Once again, it
and
did.
And it had to take place when it did.
No, it didn't. That's what Chazal tells us. It didn't have to take place like that. If a person eats a fruit, you know, I have it with my kids all the time. My Yechiel, he likes bananas. So, my wife buys the bananas. It's like, you know, it happens like all the time. It's like you figure, like, one day, like, you learn already. No, we did the same thing, I'm sure. So, I have the bananas there. We try to, like, put them in the corner. No one should see it until they're ripe. But if they're green, what happens? So, I want a banana. So it's not ready yet. On the banana, it's not ready yet. So he takes it, he opens it up, I don't like it. Okay, I thought you wouldn't like it. She is compared to, in the words of the Gemara, as unripe. Because she wasn't ready for him yet.
Is it because she really needed to wait out that time until she was sure one way or the other whether her husband was coming back from war?
That's her former
husband.
Right, I think that's a semantical issue. In other words,
I
know what you're saying. It's more the fact that Hashem was pulling the strings.
Right.
And you, God, God was saying to you, David HaMelech, You want to elevate yourself to such a high, great spiritual level. And you want to be called Elokei David, the God of David as well. It's not for you to be in that category. Not that David Melech was wanted to have any, once again, like an arrogant statement. Why am I not referred to as also the God of Elokei David? That wasn't the issue. He wanted to reach such high spiritual point levels. But it wasn't his test. That's the issue we're discussing here. It wasn't his test. Lodi Dei Nisayin. We're asking Hashem, don't bring me to a test. That wasn't his test. Now, when we're asking to our Hashem, Lodi Dei Nisayin, we're saying a test that does apply to us, but has such, according to the explanation from Rambam, has such a great, if a person passes it, it's wonderful, but if he fails it, it's all the way down there. Our tests that are not that massive. Okay, let's continue. Let's now go and discuss some of the questions we had. We asked, why is it Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid? David didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash. So, when David HaMelech, after he sinned with Bathsheba, once again, the sin on his great level, he became he had saras, leprosy. It's loosely translated in English. For 6 months.
Okay. What happens when a king has saras?
He loses his status as a king. He's not a king anymore. He's a hedyot. He's a simple person.
Does he have to go outside?
I believe he has to be separated.
What was that?
A person with saras.
Oh, sorry.
Saras. Okay. Saras. Okay. You don't say that. Okay. If you do not say it. Okay. So she... He was not the king, he was now the hedyot. A simple person. Now we can answer what's going on over here in this capital. David HaMelech says, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid. We mentioned already, I think last week, that a person, if he gathers together the materials, and like the David HaMelech, that he gathered all the material together for the Beis HaMikdash, so even though he wasn't able to build it, but yet he was still called after his name because it's like he built it. Because he put all the materials together. He gave all the money for it, if you will. That's one reason it's called Bais LaDavid. But further, more than that, when David HaMelech did Tshuva, and he was elevated from the status of being that simple person, a hedyot, back to the Melech, that's what discusses over here. Hashem Halisa Mishol Nafshi. On line number 6. That God, Halisa, you elevated me, Mishol Nafshi, from the low depths, the pits. In order to open the doors to the Beis HaMikdash, we mentioned it briefly, I think it was last week, that the whole entire Bayis Beis HaMikdash was built, but the gates were locked shut. We said last week, the Shlomo Melech said 24 praises to God to open it up. Nothing happened. They were locked shut. Imagine the scenario, I'm saying this, you have the mayor, the president, the whole entire, everybody's there, you're waiting to go into the new building. You're about to cut the ribbon. So you go to cut the ribbon, the scissors fall and break. So, okay, fine, another pair of scissors, right? You go, you cut the ribbon, the scissors, they don't cut. You can't get in. So it's a bad example, just to bring out the point a little. Everybody's standing like, no, what's going on? 24 times, scissors fall down. You can't get inside. The door's shut. So he said over two midrashim, one medrash, but that Shlomo HaMelech said, don't open it up for me, open it up for your servant, David Avdecha. And the Medrash says, one Medrash according to one opinion, that he brought the Aron, the coffin of David HaMelech, to stand over there. And then it opened up. Another Medrash says, that David HaMelech himself came back, he was alive. Ba'isai Shah at that time. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. It's very appropriate. Because it's because of David HaMelech that those gates, they opened up. And they cut that ribbon. Now, what's the connection to being sick? That's the first sentence. Throughout the next, all those words, the sentences, we have the discussions that I was sick and you lifted me up. You were sick from what? Sick from Tsaras. And he lifted me up and he was able to stand on his feet. So there are different ways to explain this. Sorry. The Ritzbah, the ground, the floor, that Shlomo Melech, when in the base of Mikdash, they brought Karbonis over there as well. It was a Hira Shah. Normally Karbonis not brought over there, but at that time they were brought Karbonis on the floor over there. David HaMelech, he was handed down this Igeris, this Megillah, this letter. Not exactly clear of what this contained, but he got it from Shmuel HaNavi, who got it from previous generations with the plans, if you will, for the Beis HaMikdash. In order to build the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech, as it was handed over to him, it was Be'amida. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to Yeshua, Be'amida, standing up. Yeshua gave it to the Zakenim, Be'amida, he was standing up. Nevi'im gave it down, Shmuel HaNavi gave it down to David HaMelech. Omar David, David HaMelech stood up, Omosra L'Shlomo Benoi, Be'amida, gave it over to Shlomo HaMelech's son, Be'amida. And that's what it means over here, that you Hashem, David Davin to Hashem, heal me from this sickness, from the tzaras. Imagine being sick for 6 months. A few years ago I had pneumonia for like a week and a half. It was lousy. I was sick in bed. And then after I came back, I was just recuperating. And I think I mentioned it to you once, but someone comes over to me, you know, with a chuckle. Says, you know, like pneumonia you catch from somebody. It's not just like, you know, you weren't just like negligent, you know, like went out with wet hair. Someone comes over to him and says, yeah, I just got over pneumonia. I'm thinking, he's the one. You know, I'm going to jump him right now. You know, I was lying there. And he's just chuckling to me, like, yeah, I'm doing better now. And I'm just holding it back. And it's a good thing he went away very fast, very soon, let me tell you. 6 months, imagine, 6 months. Deathly ill. Tsaras. David Davin to Hashem. Cure me. Why? So I could be Be'amida. I could stand up and give over the plans. Because I had to be given over Be'amida while I was standing to build the Beis HaMikdash to the son Shlomo HaMelech. The Rambam explains. He says the words are as follows. The Efshar Shiyavin Oyeda Dover Miyadiyas HaBoyrev Hu Choyle. It's not possible for a person to know something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu if a person is sick. He was davening to Hashem, not like when I was davening Hashem, you know, I wanted to go back to learn, you know, I couldn't do anything. But he was davening to Hashem, cure me for your sake, so I could go now and the Beis HaMikdash could be built. With those 2 points, we answer our questions over here. Mizmor Shir, Chanukah Sabayis L'David. The first question was, it's not L'David, it's L'Shlomo. But no, it is L'David. Because David HaMelech was the one, as we said, it was Chuzoy, his merit. Those gates opened up. When Shlomo HaMelech said, open up for your servant, David HaMelech. And the rest of the capital, when discusses Hashem elevated him from that sickness. Yes, because that sickness is what prevented him from giving over the plans. Whatever this means exactly, I don't have it clear. But it's because of that sickness that he wasn't able to do it. And then he downed to Hashem. The sickness from what? From Bathsheba, the sin of Bathsheba. And the sin of what, and the punishment to Avshalom, his son, also had what to do with Bathsheba as well.
David HaMelech designed the the Beit HaMikdash?
No, he received the plans in tradition from Moshe to Yeshua to Zekanim to Nevi'im.
Okay.
Shmuel HaNavi gave it to him.
The design came through.
I don't know exactly what means the design. It says the words are Megillas.
Because the parts and everything came from
well, that's what
from his son.
The parts were saying he gathered together. He brought those parts.
No, that's in the Chumash. Not in the Chumash. I'm sorry. In Kings, the Shlomo Melech brought the stuff in from Lebanon, the wood from Lebanon, and from all. He was the wise guy. He was the one that had received all the
intellect.
The intellect.
How to do certain things. There are some. I believe the Radak. I think it's the Radak, one of the Rishaydim, who explains. Obviously, the Radak is not going to argue on the psukim, on the verses, but it could be when he says that he gave the means for it, maybe he gave the ability for it to go get those cedars from Lebanon, whatever it might be. But that was just one explanation for it. Why is it called the David, if he didn't build it? But we said, and we're saying now that since he was the one in his merit, that's why those gates opened. Now, what happened over here this time? The Gemara continues and says that people say that David does not have a share in the world to come because of that sin with Bathsheba. Once again, we'll mention the Gemara in Shabbos that says he didn't sin. But in their eyes, it was looked upon as a sin. So people said he doesn't have a share in the world to come. His enemies, the face of his enemies, they turned red from embarrassment. When Shlomo Melech said, in the merit of my father, David, King David, Should the doors open up, and only then did it open up, his enemies, they turned red, because they thought the whole time that he was wrong, David Melech was wrong. But they saw that the Beis HaMikdash, the place where Hashem dwells, his Shechina, his presence dwells over there. For those 6 months, David Melech, when he had Tzaras, Hashem wasn't with him. Hashem wasn't with the Tzaras. So it had another powerful punch here as well. His enemies were proven wrong. That he had a share in the world to come, and that he was a tzaddik, and he was Hashem forgave him for his mistakes. It's clear?
Yeah, what's today's version of the tzaddik?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Of the tzaddik.
How do we see it today? How does it manifest itself today?
No, what ailment?
We in the letter of the law, we don't have tzaras today. Tzaras does not come out in the white splotches. That does not exist today. What do we have? The Chafetz Chaim tells us that a person who speaks Lashon Hara, the Gemara tells us, so that person, here we get tzaras. How does tzaras manifest itself today? The Chafetz Chaim tells us, sorry?
Suffering.
Suffering, and he also says poverty. Sometimes poverty could be another expression of tzaras. That doesn't mean to say if a person is poor, it's because he has tzaras, and there's no tzaras today, so that's how Hashem's way of giving this to him.
Or maybe we just don't see it. You know.
Well, you've heard that one?
Yeah, I heard that from somebody, the one that did the thing with Lashon Hara, the Ashkaf, Rabbi Kessler.
I hear, okay.
We just don't see it, it's just, you know.
Well, the word itself just means problems.
Oh,
it's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's one more in the coup, the one more point I'd like to discuss before we end tonight. Get in the sign. And that's like this. David HaMelech wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash. And he was denied. Hashem said to him, if you build it, it will last forever. Sounds great, right? Imagine a house that never needs repairs. So Hashem said to him, no, that's not the case. Because Hashem said, in the future your children will sin. And if you build a Beis HaMikdash, I cannot take out my wrath, the punishment on the Beis HaMikdash. I'll have to take it on them and they'll be destroyed. That being the case, I'm not allowing you to build a Beis HaMikdash. And in the future, obviously they had the free choice. But Hashem knew the future, and knows the future. So Hashem told David, you cannot build a Beis HaMikdash. This Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Ladavid, if we look at the first few words, Mem Shin Ches Hey Lamed is Lemoshcha, to anoint. It's referring to the Bayis Shlishi. Because the third Beis Hamikdash will not be destroyed ever. So Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Ladavid. You know that one? No, but the Mem Shin, no.
Thank you again.
Okay, you're welcome. Listen, I had to make you, you know, a little information tonight.
Mishkai's cream.
It's to anoint, right. To anoint, yeah. Okay, so that's another understanding of how David Melech was the one Mizmor Shir Chanukah, is that Shir, that David Melech was, will sing, that they would sing for inauguration of which? Of the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Shlishi that will come rebuilt, L'moshcha. Okay, I think we are finished tonight, unless we have any questions. Things are clear now? We had the question, the original
I'm
question.
I'm just not clear yet on what part of David Melech's action was the same.
So, it wasn't necessarily the letter of the law in that regard. That wasn't the sin. The sin was a person of his stature should not have acted in such a fashion of taking the lady while her husband was at war.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's how some explain it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, although...
So
although
should have waited until he died.
He should have waited until the story plays itself out. Unfolds. That's how some explain what took place, you know, in regards to his mistake.
Okay, because but the way it's written...
The way it's written is made to seem like he did the act...
Right.
And once again, that's how Chazal, that's how the Pesukim make it seem to any sin that is done throughout the Tanakh.
Right.
Now, I know the tape is on, and the MP3s, whatever these things are. I just want to reiterate... I don't want to claim that the point of tonight's class was to explain David's sin or not. We did discuss it. But because only through that we answered the questions of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Ladavid. And we explained also why the sickness. What does the sickness have to do with this? That you cured me, you healed me from being sick. So only because he was cured was he able to give over that plan to build the Beis Hamikdash. It's Hashem, which is Zoyche, that it should be the L'moshcha, that it should be the Beis HaMikdash that David HaMelech will anoint that third Beis HaMikdash, Bekarov, very quickly in our days. Right.